Thank you, Carlos. That was more honoring this time. Okay. Yeah, that's all over the internet now. Anyway, besides talking about financial principles, what I want to be able to discuss with you today, I came up with these last year because a lot of our staff at the fort are very, very new. And the reason why we came together, I came up with these lists because I think magba-budget review na rin eh. So to make sure that I was in line. So I had to write it down so I could articulate it to our staff. Now, just a quick question for all of you. Just some participation. Talk to the person beside you and if you can choose one person, I know there's several, if you can choose one person that you learned financial principles from, you know, when you were growing up, who would that be and what would be one thing that you got from that person? Okay? Quick lang. Okay? If you can think of one person that you learned finance from or budgeting or financial principles, and then what would be that one thing? So yeah, go for it. Okay, 15 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, anybody want to share? Who wants to share? Yvette, I want to hear from Yvette. Okay.
Hello, I was able to share about my mom. My mom, when we were growing up, we were still really small, really don't understand her because she's the reina ng katipiran. As in, kulang na lang maligo kami. Ano mo yun? With the langgana sa ilalim para ma-save. Yun yung pang-flush sa CR. Okay. As in, yung flush namin, tinanggal niya yung auto-flush because ang gasos daw ng tubig. So, puro buhos kami. So, we don't understand. We have money. We have enough naman. Sabi namin parang, bakit ganon? Parang, ba tayo nagtitipid? Parang ganon. And then, but then when we grew up and I now handle money, kumbaga I earn ganon. Parang dun ko na-realize na dun ko nakikita kaya pala ganito yung mom ko because she really medyo hindi ko lang naintindihan nang maliit pa kami but nagtitipid siya and she's really wise in everything. Wala pa kaming muwang, we all had insurance, complete yon, life and education. Kumbaga if anything happens to them, parents ko, meron na kami agad pupuntahan. Meron kami lahat. May lupa siya, may investment siya, everything. And ngayon ko lang na-realize when I was like, tinitignan ko yung mga papers namin, Mom, you had everything ready. So, parang syempre siya, parang magaling lang talaga siya. Well, ganyan lang siya. So, yun, I was really impressed. And yun, on that point naman, financial management as a family, sabi ko, I want to really follow her footsteps in that.
Good. Nice. Okay. Who else? Birthday girl. Sorry.
It's unique in our table kasi all our sharing were about parents who were generous, who spent a lot. But I learned the principle of being generous on every occasion from my dad. So I think it's still a principle. It's not a saving principle, but it's a giving principle.
Great. Okay. Jerry.
I was telling the group that I really learned a value of finances when I was in college. Taking up the course in finance, it taught me a lot, but the actual practice of it was when I got married. My wife is a better financial manager because she got an economics degree, so she has a lot of savings when we got married. And until now, whenever I swipe a card, I made sure that I have a money to pay for it at the end of the month. So it's really like that.
Good, good. All right, great. Well, let me go ahead and dive into this. You know, I a lot of the things I'm going to share, I actually learned from our pastors themselves, from Pastor Steve and Ferdy and Joey and Ariel. those would be the primary resource for all the learnings I've learned through the years. And I actually learned how to start a budget when there's no budget, or when there was nothing to budget, actually. So, and I'll refer to a lot of my experience again as kids pastor because of my experience there. So, but let me give you five key principles today. Number one would be the principle of ownership. Ownership. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." And when you talk about this principle, the Bible does say that God's own everything. If everything is His, how much of it is ours? None. Absolutely none. Okay? We're merely stewards of what we have been entrusted with. Okay? And it is an awesome responsibility that is to be handled with fear, actually, with fear and trembling. I remember when we had our, this was VLI, okay? We had our, we had our VLI. When I had VLI, we had, that course, Restoring the Fallen, with Pastor Steve. And there was a book that we were going through. There were a lot of case studies. And from what I gathered, he was very forgiving with, and I hope I don't get misquoted or at least misunderstood here, but there was a lot of grace for, I think, even immorality, and a lot of grace for sin, but in terms of finances, okay, that was something that was on his top of his list that almost unforgivable, okay? It's still forgivable, but almost unforgivable. And I thought, what I gathered from there was more of, this is something that's serious. And when I say fear and trembling, all right, every time I make decisions on certain, on budget and requisitions or all that, I look through that and I say, okay, well, is this something that we really need, or is this a want? This is something that that will honor God, because this is not my money. This is not our money. This is His. Okay, so it belongs to Him. And there were moments that we would go to whenever we would have family vacation. Let's say this is in Massachusetts States or something. I'd go home, one baggage was actually for kids' church redemption booth prices. Okay? Nagagalit sa akin asawa ko. Sabi niya, Paolo, ba't isang bag? Sabi ko, well, kasi in my mind, makakasave ako eh. I mean, I guess I took it to the extreme. Makakasave ako, and I would put all the other stuff there. So, you know, from 99-cent stores sa States, bibili ka ng mga maliliit na mga toys and giveaways. So, because, I guess, again, for me, I was trying to save money for this, for the ministry, and you may not necessarily need to take it to that extreme, but that's where I was coming from, because when I learned that principle of, you know, handling money with fear and trembling, that I really had to, I took it seriously, and that's why, you know, going to Divisoria versus buying it from SNR, that really makes a huge, huge difference, right? When you buy from the mall, or comparing it to a place where it's actually the supplier, dun mismo, diba? So that's the first one I wanted to share, the principle of ownership. Number two is generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." That it is true that God blesses us to become a blessing, and this has resonated in my heart since I was a new Christian. Okay, that's why even in my personal budgeting, I have no qualms about belt tightening, because that would result in many avenues to bless others. All right, and I make no apologies with our staff in terms of, we have to belt tighten here because that would mean we'll be able to give more to real life. Does that make sense? I have no qualms about, you know, and again, I'm gonna balance that with excellence later on, because excellence doesn't mean extravagance. Okay, that's why I make no apologies with belt tightening, because That would mean that we would be able to help Bacolod, who's building their building now. That would mean we would be able to help San Fernando, Pampanga, because they're planting the church. Okay? They're planting a church there now. Okay? So that's the reason. And, you know, from trying to extend the life of a MacBook, not because it's 3 years, you have to automatically change it. Yeah. Does that make sense? Okay? Yung sometimes kasi we, you know, I know we do have that. Diba? We have that provision and, you know, or try to bang it para masira na kagad kasi 3 years na, so you can change it, right? Okay? This doesn't mean, again, as I said, we won't be excellent. This just means we're going to be smart and smart stewards at that. As I said, excellence doesn't mean extravagance. It doesn't mean extravagance. Excellence is getting the best with what you have right now. Okay? Getting the best with what you have at this moment in time. And, you know, even as a church, I know that we give tithes, no? We give a tithe to the central office, or we give a tithe to every nation, and we give offerings, we bless others. And that's the principle there. Okay? We're blessed to become a blessing. Okay? I remember distinctly what Pastor Joey said, that what Pastor Steve told him years ago, and it has stayed with him for a very long time, that God raises up churches to become big churches to help other churches who are starting, who are smaller churches. God raises mega churches to help smaller churches. And I think and I pray that all our churches become big churches to become in a position of a blessing, becoming a blessing, a central and like an Antioch that would send out and help other churches, okay? So that's number two. And as I go through these different principles, I want you to list down any question that you might have and or reactions. And then later on, what we'll do is we'll discuss these principles and what are some of the things that resonated with you, or you might want to add to these things that I've mentioned. Number three is the principle of responsibility. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says, "He was faithful in very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is also unrighteous in much." Okay? And this was a question that was asked me before a long time ago. Whenever, let's say, again, I'd make purchases and I would make decisions regarding dinners. You know, when you bring somebody out for dinner, or let's say that you have a guest. Pastor Steve asked me one time, sabi niya, "Paolo, will you spend that much if it was coming from your own wallet?" Diba? Paolo, would you, let's say when you're bringing somebody out, now we have a lot of visitors because, like recently, the pastor from Moscow, John Von Dariet, and Lonnie Shields from Michigan, I think we're increasingly going to have a lot more of those visitors because of Wiki Church book that just recently came out from in CBN Asia or CBN 700 Club in the States. And then also we got email from North Carolina and Australia that they want to visit the church. Okay, so that we're going to have a lot of those. And then Pastor Joey's book is coming out soon in a few months, The Lego Principle. And because of these, I think we're going to have a lot of more visitors to visit our church, which is actually a privilege for us. And again, we want to be able to bless the body, no longer just nationally, but internationally. Can you just imagine how God is, you know, this opportunity that we have, no? But at the same time, you know, we do have guests and we bring them out and all that. And that was the thing that Pastor Steve asked me. If you were going to bring this person out for dinner, and if you were going to pay for it with your own money, how much would you spend? And he didn't even give me a range. He just asked me that question. Do you give me a compass inside my heart? What would you spend? How much would you... If you are going to do this for kids' church, you're going to purchase this for kids' church, and it was your own, coming from your own wallet, how much would you spend? Okay, so it's just a guiding principle I've had through these years, no? Now, talking about responsibility, there's also accountability. I want to throw in that word there under responsibility. We have an accountability to steward the finances we've been entrusted with. Okay, and Accountability is a huge word. Okay, we're not only accountable to the finance officers, all right, or to our supervisors. Actually, we're accountable to God and face Him one day and to explain to Him how we dispensed His resources. Okay. And that's why whenever we have a particular event, I actually ask financial statements or at least a report before and after. Before would be proposing a budget, and then after would be how much did we actually spend. Okay, I ask for that statement that report. Did we stay within budget, right? Or we went off budget? And that's not to micromanage. That is actually, that's my job. That's my role as a leader, as a supervisor, is to make sure we're moving in the right direction and we're moving with the right resources and the right amount of resources that is required for us to be able to do the job. Okay. The other word is sustainability. I want to put in under responsibility. Again, these are random thoughts, okay? Sustainability. Now, when the church was smaller, I remember I started as a kids pastor when I was in Valle Verde Country Club. And we had, Janelle was a teacher at that time, okay? No, you were not. Okay. I was after you were a student, okay? Omeng yun, okay? But anyway, disclaimer. But what was my point? Okay, then at that point we had 500 people in the church. Okay, in Valle Verde Country Club. Now we thought, wow, grabe laki na ng church natin, 500. Wow, we're growing, di ba? It's like we were so excited about having 500, and we had about 100 children total for kids church. No, it's like, wow, this is a mega kids church, di ba? So, but at that time we were still feeding all the children snacks, di ba? I mean, remember those days. So. We actually had sandwiches for the children and Kool-Aid, okay? So it was great. In fact, we had yung mga from Red Ribbon, ang dami, no? So it's nice, okay? Now, from 100, that grew to 200, okay? So yung empanada or yung ano, naging ano na, yung alam mo yung mga Marie, naging ano na, lumiit eh, okay? So, and then I learned the principle there of sustainability. As you grow, it's not going to be sustainable anymore. And that's why before you start something, that's a good question to ask yourself. Is this going to be sustainable? If we start feeding, if we start providing, if we start giving, if we start doing certain things, the decisions we make today, will these be sustainable for long term? Diba? I'm gonna balance that later on, okay? Because I don't want us to get out of here, you know, feeling stingy and all, diba? But I do want to bring in first and foremost that fear and trembling in our hearts before because this is not our money, this is God's money. Being wise and not being unwise, okay? Are you instituting something that may be not necessarily wrong but unwise? When you talk about sustainability, are you starting something that maybe is unwise and then for long term will not be really good to continue? All right? Will it incite entitlement? Will it start entitlement in the hearts of the people? Okay, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Okay, so responsibility. Any thoughts there? Any questions? For the first three, before I continue to number four, ownership, generosity, responsibility. Wala pa? Okay. Number four is the principle of grace. Principle of grace. When I talk about grace, you know, I tweeted it this morning. If we deserved it, then that's not grace. Okay. There's absolutely nothing that we deserve. We're here because of the grace of God, and we cannot start thinking that because I've been here in this place for this long a time, then I deserve something in return. Okay? What you and I deserve is hell, punishment, and judgment. That's what we deserve. Okay? That is exactly what we deserve. If we listened and told God, Lord, I deserve this, then surely He will tell you what you actually deserve. And that's one of the things that we need to watch out for, just the attitude of entitlement. You don't want to go there. You cannot afford to go there. You should not go there, okay? And this is a consistent thing we need to check, from lunches to snacks to food to outings to perks to coffee and everything, okay? That you have you now have a butler getting your Starbucks, okay? You don't want that. You don't want to go there, okay? And plus, you have people who are watching you, okay? And unfortunately, like it or not, we live in a world today that is so, you know, it's one tweet away. what you do is one tweet away, or one tweet pick away, yeah. One wife frog away, okay? I tell you this story. I told you this story one time. Maybe I can repeat it. I was in Mega Mall, okay, on a Sunday, okay? Imagine, Mega Mall on Sunday. Right before school starts. So we had to get something for the children because it was school was starting, whether that's a notebook or something. Okay, so Jen, myself, I think we only had two kids at that time. This was quite some time ago. And we were in the parking lot, so we were waiting. So, you know, in Mega Mall, because there's a lot of, you know, there's wala pang ilaw, no, there was no, how do you call that thing? Sensors, no? So you watch the guys going out and you try to follow them, right? That's what you do. So they were going out, I was trying to follow them, okay, and then I gave my left turn signal because I was coming from here. I was going to make a right turn, so I made my right turn signal. And then, so the guy went out, and then the guy coming from here, from a blind side or whatever, gumanon, he went in, took my spot, okay? So now, of course, I was fuming mad, right? Because I was waiting for 30 minutes for a parking spot Sunday, okay? So I was with Sabini Jen, wag na lang, wag mo nang patulan. Let's just look for it. I just have to tell him. Okay? I just need to tell the guy he did what he did was wrong, okay? So I stood up, okay? I got out of my car, and I knocked on the windshield. And Jen was trying to stop me because he didn't want me to get into an argument or a fight or anything like that. Hey, I'm not going to fight the guy. I just need to tell him. I guess it's the belief in me. I just need to tell him, okay, he is wrong. He can keep the spot and maybe later on burn in hell, but he can keep the spot. So I went up to him, knocked on the door, a window, and it was a driver. Okay, pulled the window down and said, boss, what you did, yung ginawa mo, mali yan. Okay? Nakita mo naman, I had my right turn signal on. Nakita mo ba ako? Yes, sir. So, alam mong hinihintay ko? Yes, sir. Mali yung ginawa mo. Okay? Oh, sorry po, sir. And then in the back, the lady looked outside like that and said, Pastor Paolo! Okay? Sabi niya, Pastor Paolo, sabi niya, gusto mo, dito ka na lang, parking spot, sayo na lang to, ganito. Sabi ko, no. And I was still upset, but I don't know if it was righteous indignation or already unrighteous, okay, but I said, no, but what your driver did was wrong. And he took my spot, and you heard the conversation. Pastor, sorry, Pastor, again. I don't know if she ever came back to church or anything, but but she was wrong. They were wrong, okay? Anyway, that's veering away of the story. My story was actually, you know, you're one twit pick away. You're just one wife frog away, okay? So, where was I? Grace, entitlement, right? Okay, the perks, outings, coffee, and all that. Like even staff merienda, okay? And it's interesting when, you know, when we would have staff meetings, we would have all the, before, we used to have a spread, okay? And then whenever we change or, you know, they didn't like the food, the people started to complain and said, but kulang, or but ito lang, di ba? Like, ha, iba, hindi yata masarap ito ngayon. This is not so, you know, exciting or yummy or whatever. Delicious as last week. I got tired of it. Let's just take it all out. Let's just, so that whenever we have, it becomes a blessing rather than an entitlement. Okay, that's what I got from Ferdy Gabiling. Okay, I learned this from Pastor Ferdy. Because sometimes when something becomes consistent, people forget and it becomes an expectation, worse, an entitlement. I'm part of staff. I'm part of, you know, I'm doing this every week. I'm working my hiney off. I'm doing this for God and I should be getting this. No, you deserve nothing. You don't deserve anything. Okay? My half-sister, my younger sister, is a flight attendant. Her name is Meg, and she works for Cebu Pacific. And, you know, you see this entitlement all over, even this nation. I get irked by when this thing happens. You know, my sister, who works for Cebu Pacific, she's a flight attendant, and long story short, I don't want to tell you the whole story anymore, bore you with the details, but the girl didn't want to put her bag. She was on the exit row. She didn't want to put her bag on the what's that thing? The bin, okay? Overhead bin. And she wanted to, you know, because her precious laptop, okay, she wanted to keep on her leg, on her lap, okay? So they came, went, got into an argument, and then finally they had to call, to the point they had to call security. Because if you don't obey, you actually can get, you can actually get kicked out of the plane. You actually could. And be banned. That girl was actually banned from flying Cebu Pacific for the next 6 months. Okay, so she didn't want to put her thing up there. So when she was being escorted out, okay, she told Meg, my sister, I hate you, okay? And I think my sister couldn't hold herself anymore. I hate you too, she said. She probably get a red mark on her comment list after that. But what the girl said, what the lady said, I hate you and I pay your salary. That's what she, because, you know, she was a passenger. She said, I pay your salary. And I, in my mind, it's like, that was probably a piece of fare or something. You know, yeah, 1 peso, you paid her salary for 1 peso. But in other words, we lose just the attitude of this is a privilege. This is not something, this is not a right. This is, and that's why I brought in grace there as one of the principles. Because again, I told you this last week. When we talked about this in staff in the fort 2 weeks ago, when we reviewed our calling, why are you here today? Will you still do this even, will you keep serving Jesus even if you are not paid? And you know what? I look at all of us here today, a lot of us were actually functioning in ministry. Diba? You were functioning in ministry. I look at Janelle, look at me, every one of you. You were functioning in ministry right before you got in staff. You were Pinky, to this day, still serves as a youth volunteer at Victory Ortigas. Why? Because it's something that you love to do, okay? Cricket was a volunteer for 2 million years, okay? And tagal, diba? So until now, she serves, she works here, but she's still volunteering. Now, enough of that, okay? I think that's made my point. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to make mention that verse 53. For the imperishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to stop there for a moment. That you and I, and I said, you know, we deserve nothing, and we're thankful for what we have received from God. Therefore, that's why there's a therefore there, verse 58. Therefore, let nothing stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It is from that perspective that you do what you do today. Okay? It is from that gratitude, perspective, and posture. Lord, because of this, I am doing what I am doing today. Finally, let me finish with number five, faith. He is able to provide faith. This is the fifth principle I want to share. Verse 20 of chapter 3 in Ephesians says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more, we can ask or imagine according to the power that is at work within us. Now, I wanted to end with this because this is crucial, and this would be one of the more important principles I wanted us to glean from. I think about even this room. I was a kids pastor, and you know, when you're a kids pastor, a youth pastor, and set up, eh, diba? Kasi you can just request and request, right? Diba? You don't have to worry about finance, diba? Kasi you're not the one who's worried. Okay, now I'm worried, okay, because I'm the one in charge. But before, when you were a youth pastor, you make that request, but there were times that, and I'm so thankful for our leadership here because the support and the vision to reach the next generation is impeccable. It's just amazing, okay? And in terms of this room, we were hoping and we were praying for new sound system because we had a couple of speakers that were propped up on tripods. And whenever kids would play here and would run around, they would fall over and trip over the speakers and the speaker would fall. It's like, it's scary, okay? So, and then we made that request, and it would cost us, what, 200,000, 250,000 pesos. And at that time, you know, there was no way to actually have that, or at least budget was tight, or at least it was allocated for other stuff. It was not in the priority, or at least it was down in the priority list. So we prayed, okay? Cricket was, we were praying, and Sunday, somebody comes up to her and says, here's a check for $250,000. Use it for children's church. And it's like, it's really not me. It's more of Cricket. Cricket's really a woman of faith. Okay, that's why she's in the building committee. We got the right person there. She really is, okay? She actually can faith a traffic away, okay? Pag may traffic na pray it away, okay? Because she lived in Avalon at that time, okay? There's a lot of traffic in Ica and La Salle Green Hills. But, the long story short, we were able to get all this, okay, here as a result, and we don't have to have all the different wires all around this room, and because somebody provided. I wanted to say that because God is able to provide in whatever little budget we might have, or you know, if we don't have a budget for a particular thing, God is able to provide. Yeah. And if you're believing God for, again, excellence is not extravagance, but if there is a certain level of excellence you're believing God for, don't compromise. Believe God for that particular thing. Because you know what? If you compromise on excellence later on, okay, you're going to end up spending more. You're going to end up, it doesn't save the ministry money. It will actually cost us a lot more money because you're trying to get a cheap imitation or a copy or a, you know, class B version of something. Thereby, we end up spending more because we have to buy another one in a year rather than get something that's top quality and lasts us for 10 years. Make sense? Okay, so, and he is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. We can believe God for him to provide. Now, that one last thought here regarding faith. I want to be careful in saying this. How do I say this? No, years ago we got a rebuke from Pastor Steve because I'll just use me. Okay. We got a rebuke from Pastor Steve because there was a church member who owned Baskin and Robbins. Okay. Owned Baskin and Robbins and wanted to bless the people from the church. Okay, I'll just say people from the church. Okay. And wanted to bless the people in the church so that we can have, it was a gathering, and we had a lot of people there. So free. I mean, ilang flavors yon? 101 flavors of Baskin and Robbins. It's the best, right? So, and then people started lining up and getting 3, 4 cups, 5 cups, walking around like that, and it's like, and I'm so glad I wasn't one of them, but because I got, you know, but we all got rebuked. All of us got corrected. And Pastor Chief just said, you know, that's one of the things that we need to battle every single day in this nation. It's poverty mentality. You want to get as much as you can, as many as you can, as plenty as you're able to get, because, or yung even yung naguunahan ka pa, mga babae nuunahan mo, alam mo yung just, all these things I learned through the years, and I wouldn't be sharing this with you. I probably would be the first one, and I probably was the one, actually, one of the people who was getting Baskin Robbins, but it's something we need to battle every single day, that our God is a big enough God, okay? He's more than enough. And that's why from that perspective, we want to be able to move in ministry, knowing that my God is greater, my God is bigger than any, okay? Our God is greater. Okay, napakanta na. So in anyway, okay, what you're believing God for, okay? So, yun, I know my thoughts are so random, but those are the 5 things I wanted to share with you today. Ownership, generosity, responsibility, grace, and faith. Okay? Any thoughts, any feedback, any questions, anything that you might want to add? I'll tell you what. Just, again, with that person beside you, go ahead and share what you got and share what spoke to you. And then we'll discuss what you talked about. Okay?
Volunteers, they have a spirit of entitlement because walang pagkain or bakit ganyan yung pagkain. Then maybe us as staff, maybe not in that level but in a different aspect, we should also be careful of having that kind of spirit that, you know, we don't really deserve anything. And going back to the reason why you started working in the ministry to begin with.
I just wanted to commend Pastor Paolo and Pastor Joey, because many of the, I have the privilege actually of seeing all the churches, and I just have to say this na yung fort, kahit na, you know, I've seen it na konti pa lang yung pera hanggang, you know, now God's really blessing the church, yet yung decisions hindi nag-iiba, hindi yung basta may pera tas nagiging magastos na ganun. So in other words, parang what Pastor Paolo is saying is they really do that all the time. It's really tight the way they run things. Hindi nga yung parang kuripit, because at the same time, they're so generous naman to all the needs of the ministry, even outside of the ministry. So for me, it really blows my mind away. And in a sense, I can see that's why God is really blessing this church, you know, because of not just Pastor Paul and Pastor Joey, but all the way down, even May and all the staff. They really embody these principles he's talked about.
Okay, lunchtime, mamaya. Blessing yun, hindi entitlement. Okay, anybody else? Henry, any thoughts? Before Carlos again, I saw your name.
Faith and generosity. That's for me the takeaway. For because I have my wife is due next month, and just looking at our finances and the past 3 years, and then looking ahead and how inflation and just everything increases and then this has to increase. So it's more like, okay, so now I'm always like, where can I be able to bless and all that. So that's usually our, like, just last night we were talking about, hey, I want to bless this newlywed and we're believing for our own house, so we want to give them something for their house. So something like that. Like, we might not be able to give the whole amount, pero towards that. So something like that, like that we're right now.
Great. Good. Carlos? Two thoughts. One, appreciate you pointing out the idea of the poverty mentality, and I think I wrote it down here, basically for me, but recognize that I live in a world that I have poverty mentality. Yung parang just, let me just start from the assumption that I have it. Let me assume that so that every day I'm consciously battling it. You know, so I thought that was huge for me. And if I take that for granted, it'll shift back to this. It'll default back to me thinking there's never enough, and you know, there's always this, it's always gonna come from poverty, a need for more and everything. But the second one was, I think more and more, because I never used to care for the finances, you know, until Carol made sure I cared for it. So, but as we were laughing about it, because I grew up in an environment where it was, when you have it, spend it. That was our environment, because you don't have it all the time. So when you have it, let's enjoy it, you know. And that kind of became the mindset going into a lot of these things. So growing into the biblical principles of finance, it's really teaching me a lot of practices and decision-making skills as it relates to money. And I think the big takeaway for me is this, is all of us in our teams at one point or another make financial decisions. Yeah. We may not recognize them as financial decisions because they're hidden costs for many of us. Like, yep, when we extend meetings unnecessarily, you know, it does affect the bottom line long term. You know, I used to think every solution was hire another person solution until I started to see how that affects the bottom line. Every additional staff means this in the long term, the sustainability of this and of that. And so for me as a director now, it's telling me I gotta cultivate these principles to my team. It doesn't matter whether they are overseeing petty cash or not, because the reality is they do make financial decisions. When they extend the deadline of a project, there's a financial decision involved with that. So the resources, though, there is a clear financial resource, but there's time resource and other aspects that these principles apply just as much to. And so for me, I'm now asking myself, how do I cultivate this? Because I sometimes expect that's the job of finance. That's the job of GEG. You know, it's the job of the boss. But now I'm realizing in my own team, I need to cultivate this same culture. So I guess I'm throwing that here because we're the ones who will probably have to do this in our teams as well. So
great. Well, hope this helps. That's it. We're done. 10-minute break. 10:02.